Good evening, everybody. Let us begin as we always do, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Upon those who lived in a land of gloom, a light has shone. You have brought them abundant joy and great rejoicing. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at harvest, and they exult when dividing the spoils. For the yoke that burdened them, the pole on their shoulder, the rod of their taskmaster, you have smashed, as on the day of Midian. For every brute that trampled in battle, every cloak rolled in blood, they will be burned as fuel for fire. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. Upon his shoulder dominion rests. They name him Wonder Counselor, God Hero, Father Forever, Prince of Peace. His dominion is vast and forever peaceful upon David's throne and over his kingdom, which he confirms and sustains by judgment and justice, both now and forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This is the time of the divided kingdom of Israel. We have Judah in the north and Jerusalem in the south. And now the northern kingdom has collapsed under hammer-like blows of Assyria in the years 722 to 721 BC. And in 701, Jerusalem in the south itself saw the army of Sennacherib drawn up before its walls, and King Uzziah died in the year 742. Not a very promising time for Israel. Things are looking pretty bad for them. But imagine hearing these words, "For a child is born to us, a son is given to us." We've all heard this. These are beautiful words. They name him Wonder Counselor, God Hero, Father Forever, Prince of Peace. His dominion is vast and forever peaceful upon David's throne and over his kingdom, which he confirms and sustains by the judgment and justice both now and forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. And you know what? This has come to pass. But wait! There is more. Good evening, everybody. By now, you should know that I am Father Andrew. So, there is this interesting story about this Advent reflection that I prepared over a year ago. I was asked by the people at St. Joan of Arc in Chagrin Falls to do an Advent reflection for them, because I had celebrated several masses over, you know, for them over the years, and they wanted me to do something for them for Advent. So I spent about a month, 2 months preparing this presentation. And the day before, it was supposed to be on a Monday night, on Sunday morning, I woke up with 103 temperature. And that's not healthy. And then the next morning, the fever broke, but you know, after you've had a hard fever, you're in no shape to go do anything. So I called them up, and I've been trying to call them all week, and the coordinator there is saying, I can't be there, I'm so sorry, and so finally, now I have this packaged presentation, and Jackie Taylor asked me, can we do something here at St. Casimir? I said, well, I got something for you. And sure enough, what happens this morning? Lake effect snow. I said, God, what are you trying to tell me? But you know, we're Clevelanders, we're tough, we know how to handle this. So I just added this obligatory slide here just to tell people who I am. Just so you know, I am a priest of the Diocese of Cleveland, incarnated, not incarcerated, incarnated on the 1st of July, 2023. So as of July 1st of 2023 this year, I have officially come home. You will know this. I was graduated Yukon High in 1982, University of Toledo, 1986 Army ROTC, 13-year military career, 5 years as a project manager, went to seminary in Boston, ordained on August 29th, 2009, Feast of the Beheading of John the Baptist, a very good day. Served the Church of Washington for 10 years, arrived in Cleveland in 2019, and that's when COVID hits. Now I'm still, I'm still the chaplain of the University Hospitals, Cleveland Medical Center, and I'm living at Communion of Saints, which was actually the drive into work this morning wasn't that bad. So I just want to start off this Advent reflection by saying, Happy Holidays. How does that make you feel when you hear those words? Happy Holidays. Now, just for fun, I decided to search the internet because everything you read on the internet has to be true, right? So I just wanted to see what holidays that the internet says are happening at this time. And it's a pretty exhaustive list. Let's take a look here. Let's see. Okay, Thanksgiving we already had on November 24th. Black Friday was on November 25th. That's kind of ominous sounding, Black Friday. Cyber Monday, let's see. You probably can't read all this. There are some interesting things here. December 3rd, Let's Hug Day. December 4th, Santa's List Day. National Sock Day. Special Education Day. National Peppermint Bark Day on December 1st. December 6th, National Microwave Oven Day. Ah, it's St. Nicholas. They actually put St. Nicholas on there. Look at that. Let's see. December 10th, National Lager Day. That's a good one. National Llama Day on December 9th. Nobel Prize Day on the... here's something important. December 7th, the date which will live in infamy, National Pearl Harbor Day of Remembrance. You should remember that. Let's see, and the list goes on and on and on. And National Bouillabaisse Day. Oh, that's a good one. December 20th, Go Caroling Day. Answer the Phone Like Buddy the Elf Day on December 18th. The Winter Solstice on December 21st. Interesting. December 21st was the Winter Solstice. Who celebrated that day? Pagans, right? Any reason why December 25th was chosen as the date for Christmas? Because we don't know the exact date of Christmas. It was to try to draw the pagans to celebrate the birth of our Savior on December 25th. Interesting. Oh, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day. Hanukkah begins this year on December 25th. Let's see. National Resolution Planning Day, December 30th. Let's see, December 31st, Make Up Your Mind Day. January 1st, National Hangover Day. Orthodox Christmas begins on January 7th. So, looking at that list, these are the religious observances they included. St. Nicholas, Hanukkah, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, and Orthodox. What didn't they include? The religious observances that were overlooked, St. Andrew the Apostle. It's a very important day for me because I was named after the Apostle Andrew. Immaculate Conception, December 8th, is a holy day of obligation. It's on a Friday. You gotta go to church on Friday, next week Friday. Our Lady of Guadalupe on December 12th. I was a pastor of a predominantly Hispanic parish. That's a very big day in the Hispanic community. Mary, Mother of God, January 1st. Normally, a holy day of obligation, but it's a solemnity that follows a Sunday. So the obligation to be a holy day of obligation, it's not required. Just go. Honor our Blessed Mother. I mean, we have a church dedicated to our Blessed Mother, Our Lady of Perpetual Help. The Epiphany, Epiphany used to be on January 6th, but now it's been moved between January 2nd and January 8th. And again, like I say, I'm in sales, not management. Baptism of the Lord, the Sunday after Epiphany and the Monday after the baptism of the Lord, begins ordinary time. So, and one thing they did not include, of course, is the season of Advent. Even the Protestant chaplains that I work with at the hospital don't really understand what Advent is. So let's take a look, first of all, at our liturgical calendar. Our liturgical calendar in the church is fixed on two dates in the church year that everything, like we say in the army, is backwards planned from. The two dates being, of course, Christmas, which is on December 25th, and Easter, which is the first Sunday after the Paschal full moon, which is the first full moon on or after December. Very complex. But you know what? It's the Catholic Church that sets the date of Easter, but everyone, all the other Christians, seem to fall in along right along with that. So there are two fixed dates, Christmas and Easter. So the time before Christmas, of course, is Advent. The time before Easter is Lent. Christmas ends with the baptism of the Lord. Easter ends with Pentecost. And then we got that little time between Lent and Easter, which we call the Triduum. Holy Thursday, Good Friday, Holy Saturday. And then everything else is, guess what? Ordinary time. 34 weeks of it. So when does our church year actually begin? It begins on the first Sunday of Advent. The year of grace begins the year 2024. Now, for our readings, Sunday readings, we're on a three-year cycle. A, B, C, A, B, C, A, B, C, keeps repeating over and over again. We're entering into year B. Our daily readings follow a two-year cycle, year one, cycle one and cycle two. How do you know which year you're on? If it's an even year, year two. If it's an odd year, year one. Very simple. And this is this little excerpt you see right here. This is what's called the Ordo. This is what helps priests and liturgists plan out the Mass. It tells us all the instructions, what you can do, what you can't do, everything else. So if you ever see me on the altar and I've got my phone and I'm doing this on the altar, I am not updating my Facebook page. I am not checking my Twitter status. I'm actually looking at this page on my phone, because there's an app for that too. It tells me exactly what to do. Okay, so notes. December 2nd, Saturday, weekday 34, Blessed Virgin Mary on Sunday. December 2nd, that Saturday morning is still ordinary time. It's green. We count what masses we can do. But it tells you there's a pastoral note at the beginning of the year of grace 2024. With evening prayer one of the first Sunday of Advent, the new liturgical year begins. So this coming Saturday evening, with evening prayer one, for those who have a devotion to the liturgy of the hours, we begin the season of Advent. And you've probably seen this, you know, this is often very popular in religious schools and in RCIA. It's a liturgical wall calendar that shows, you know, the different colors of the season. You know, we wear green in ordinary time, violets in Lent and Advent, white during Christmas and Easter, and red during during the Passion and during the Triduum. Okay, somebody was asking me, so here we are. Well, here we are on December 28th. First week, so that's the first week, the second week, the third week, and then the fourth week. Oh, look at that. We've only got one day. So what does that tell you? So on the 24th is the fourth Sunday of ordinary time. That's a Sunday, right? You got to go to Mass. When do we have our first Mass for Christmas? Christmas Eve. So, poor Father Joe. He's going to have three. I'm going to help him out that weekend as well. But there's going to be Masses in the morning and a Mass in the evening. And then Christmas Day begins December 25th. Guess what? You got to go to Mass on Sunday, and you got to go to Mass on Monday. Again, I'm in sales, okay? But that's what our current calendar looks like. We're going to talk about the third week, why there is that little rose-colored wedge right there in just a moment. Okay, the fourth, and again, there is that excerpt from the Ordo. Fourth Sunday of Advent, December 24th, the fourth Sunday of Advent, the Christmas season, after the annual celebration of the Paschal mystery, the Church has no more ancient custom than celebrating the memorial of the Nativity of the Lord and the first manifestation, and this takes place Christmas time. Christmas season extends from evening prayer 1, December 24th, until the baptism of the Lord on Monday, January 8th. So, what is Advent? So, I took this definition from the USCCB, the United States Catholic Conference, the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. Pay attention to these words very carefully. The Advent season is a time of preparation that directs our hearts and minds to Christ's second coming at the end of time and the anniversary of our Lord's birth on Christmas. A time of preparation. Minds and hearts. Not baking cookies, decorating, or writing cards. That's an Advent bush, by the way, over there. It used to be the tradition in some, maybe you remember, where you didn't put up your decorations or your Christmas tree until December 24th. Because that's Christmas Eve. That's when Christmas begins. Notice there are two parts here. Christ's second coming and the anniversary of our Lord's birth. Complete the following sentence. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will. Thank you very much. When we went from the extraordinary form over the Latin Mass to the Novus Ordo, there was a big rush to produce texts in the vernacular. And, so when they came up with different translations of the sacramentary that we used to have, that memorial acclamation, Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ will come again, that was actually added in the late 1960s, and it's also used in Lutheran and Episcopal and Methodist worship services as well. The bishops decided that they wanted it dropped from the sacramentary, and that's why it's not included in our current Roman Missal, because it was theologically insufficient for that portion of the Mass. But regardless of liturgical norms, the statement that Christ will come again is a theological fact. It's a theological reality. Christ will come again. You know, we recite that in our creed. He will come to judge the living and the dead. And even from the Second Vatican Council in Lumen Gentium number 48, already the final age of the world has come upon us, and the renovation of the world is irrevocably decreed, and is already anticipated in some kind of real way, for the Church already on this earth is signed with a sanctity which is real, although imperfect. And Jesus often spoke of his second coming. He, indicated that various signs would mark the event of his return. Mankind would suffer from famine, pestilence, and natural disasters. False prophets would claim to be the Messiah. Nations would wage war against us. And when we look around in our world around us right now, and especially what's happening in the Holy Land, in you know, and with, you know, with in the Gaza Strip. You know, it's, you know, is he coming? The church will endure persecution. We are a persecuted church. Even in our own country, we are a persecuted church. You know, faith of many people will grow cold and will even abandon their faith, betraying and even hating one another because of this particular teaching or that particular belief, or I want to follow this tradition and you're not following that tradition, and all of a sudden, and even Jesus said, you know, I've not come to bring peace, you know, father and mother and daughter and son against each other. You know, again, he was teaching in hyperbole, but the reality is, and that's what's happening right now. Do we need to worry? And the answer is no, but you have to be prepared. Are we ready to fight when we need to be armed and ready? You know, what is our battle prayer? St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. I pray that all the time after every Mass I celebrate, you know. In some churches, that's a tradition where they actually pray that. So at the final judgment, death will be no more. The dead shall rise, and those souls who have died will be united again to their bodies. And that's something we don't often talk, you know, we often talk about or preach about or teach about is, you know, resurrection of the body. You know, that's why, you know, this earthly dwelling will turn to dust, but it's made in the image and likeness of God, and it should be treated with respect. St. Paul said, he will give us new form to this lowly body, and our bodies remake it according to the pattern of his glorified body. I just came off retreats in Florida, and the whole retreat was on the theology of the body, and you could spend another week just talking about that particular aspect as well. In Matthew's gospel, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit upon his glorious throne and all the nations will be assembled before him, and he will separate one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. So, what is Advent? From the earliest days of the church, people had been fascinated by Jesus' promise to come back. But the scripture readings during Advent tell us not to waste our time with predictions. Advent is not about speculation. In our personal relationship with Jesus, in my humble opinion, you know, we seek to worship him, right? We come to be strengthened by him and to seek his forgiveness. We don't consider much about his return. I mean, we know you are astute people. You know, you attend daily Mass, you're faithful in the week. You know these things. But for the general Christian population, do they consider the time when he will come again? In the early church, the faithful were expecting Jesus to return in their lifetime. That's Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians is all about that, is, you know, them being lazy, sitting around and not being productive. He's saying, no, why do we need to do anything if Jesus is coming in our life? We don't know when he will return. And I preach, and by now you already know this about me, and one of the things I always preach about is needing to build the kingdom through our offices of priest, prophet, and king, preparing for the time he will come again. So Advent reminds us that what must happen before he returns, and focus on his return. Don't worry, it will happen. You know, like the Boy Scouts. What's the Boy Scout model? Be prepared. Our Advent readings call us to be alert and ready, not weighted down and distracted by the cares of the world. From Luke's Gospel, beware that your hearts do not become drowsy with carousing and drunkenness and the anxieties of daily life, and that day catch you by surprise like a trap. For that day will assault everyone who lives on the face of the earth. Be vigilant at all times and pray that you have the strength to escape the tribulations that are imminent and to stand before the Son of Man. He mentions carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. Sounds like what's happening to us right now. And in the coming weeks, you know, how many holiday parties are there going to be where there's going to be carousing and drunkenness and all that anxiety, right? Weighted down and distracted by the cares of the world. What's the mantra for the Lenten season? The mantra for the Lenten seasons? Prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, right? And I think I've used this before with you before. You know, we give up something for Lent, not to be weighted down to earthly realities so that we can reach for heavenly realities, right? Why not during Advent? Prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. Hard to do with all those little C Christmas parties, cookies, holiday specials on the TV, all the false festivities. I think Festivus was on that list too. You know, that whatever that was, you know, it was a Seinfeld thing, right? So it would be appropriate to ask, what are you giving up for Advent? Like Lent, a liturgical color for the Advent is violet, since both are seasons that prepare us for great feast days. Worn during Lent or Advent, purple represents penance, preparation, and sacrifice. I mean, there are probably some really Orthodox priests out there who will wear a light-colored violet garment during Advent and a darker colored for Lent. I've also heard that as well. And again, this is still from the CCB. Advent also includes an element of penance in the sense of preparing, quieting, and disciplining our hearts for the joy of Christmas. An element of penance. Go to confession. I remember Sister marching me down to that very confessional right there. I can't remember if it was Angelitis or somebody else, but I made my first confession right there. Use that room. The heat works in there. I know it because I've been in there. Okay. But again, look at these words. Preparing, quieting, and disciplining our hearts for the full joy of Christmas. What happens in the secular world? They build up. You know, it keeps growing. All of a sudden, on Christmas Day, poof! And then the next day, nothing. So, we are blessed to have many forms of worship, prayers, and devotions in our church. You know, we are not lacking for prayer on how to pray or which other devotion. I could just cut and paste something off the internet, but I wanted to give you something practical that will prepare you during each week of Advent. During ordinary time, the prayers of the Mass, the opening prayer, the collect, the prayer over the gifts, the prayer after communion, are this, you know, all the prayers that we use during ordinary time, if you've ever noticed, they're the same one for the entire week, except that there is a feast or a memorial or a solemnity in there, but it's always the same every day of the week through ordinary time. During Advent, Christmas, Lent, and Easter, they're different every single day. So we flip more pages during this time of the year. Many of you will not be able to attend daily Mass because of, you know, commitments and weather, whatever else. So I offer you this devotional that I put together, praying the antiphon and the collect for the Sunday Mass. Start next week, you know, because, you know, Advent begins next week, or this Saturday night, this coming Saturday night. And then just use that to keep you focused and mindful. So the antiphon, this is from the general instruction of the Roman Missal. When the people are gathered and the priest enters with the deacon and the ministers, the entrance chant begins. Its purpose is to open the celebration, foster the unity of those who have been gathered, introduce their thoughts to the mystery of the liturgical time or festivity and accompany the procession of the priest and the ministers. I'd say 90% of the time that's not done because we have, and we usually have an entrance hymn. At daily Mass, I always like to recite the entrance antiphon. So that's what the antiphon is. And if you, I don't know if there's a, do we have one of the Roman missals here, or one of the missalettes here? The entrance antiphon is just pick any day. It's right there at the beginning of each day. Or if you have your own personal missal, you'll find them in there as well. So that's what the antiphon is. And of course, we like to, you know, in the church, we like to have big fancy names for everything. Some people say to call it the collect. Some people say colic. I like to say colic because it doesn't sound like the collect prayer. It's the collect prayer. No, it's the opening prayer. The proper term from the instruction is the collect or the collect. Next, the priest calls the people to pray, and everybody together with the priest observes a brief silence so that they may become aware of being in God's presence and they may call to mind their intentions. Then the priest pronounces the prayer, usually called the collect, and through which the character of the celebration finds expression. Now, I have handouts for you. So what we're going to go through, I'm going to show you through here. I've got handouts for you so you can use this as a devotional if you like. So let's just take a look at week one. The entrance antiphon. To you, I lift up my soul, O God, and you I have trusted. Let me not be put to shame, nor let my enemies exult over me, and let none who hope in you be put to shame. In Psalm 25, it'd be an excellent opportunity to do a little Lectio Divina just on the antiphon. To you, I lift up my soul, O God. Dear Lord Jesus, give me the strength, be free of sin, and my soul may rise up to you. In you I have trusted. Let me not be put to shame. Give me the strength, and my faith may grow strong. But I trust in your mercy and your love, and do not let my enemies put me to shame. Nor let my enemies exult over me, and let none who hope in you be put to shame. So here's the opening prayer. Grant your faithful, we pray, Almighty God, the resolve to run forth to meet your Christ with righteous deeds at his coming, so that gathered at his right hand, they may be worthy to possess the heavenly kingdom through our Lord Jesus Christ. Just break those down. Just parse the words. Run forth to meet your Christ. You know, your kids, you know, when you come home at the end of the day, you know, your kid's running to greet you, your dog running to greet you, except your cat, you know, he just glares at you with the attitude, feed me, right? With righteous deeds at his coming. What deeds? Simple. Live your Christian lives. There's no such thing as being a passive Christian. What do the Protestants like to say? Once saved, always saved, so I can just sit around and do nothing. No. Build the kingdom. Be a priest, be a prophet, be a king. Ready for the time when he will come again. Gathered at his right hand, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, he will separate them into two groups. Remember? The sheep and the goats. Do you want to be a sheep or do you want to be a goat? They may be worthy to possess the heavenly kingdom. Remember, the priest is praying this for you, that you may possess the heavenly kingdom. That was week one. Week two. O people of Zion, behold, the Lord will come to save the nations, and the Lord will make his glory of his voice heard in the joy of your hearts. And then the prayer. Almighty and merciful God, may no earthly undertaking hinder those who set out in haste to meet your Son, but may our learning of heavenly wisdom gain us admittance to his company. Earthly undertaking. Everything we do here on earth that is not of God is an earthly undertaking drawing us away from him. Now again, you know, holding down to earthly realities, you know, let go and reaching for heavenly realities. What are you giving up for Advent so that you can reach those heavenly realities? Set out in haste. Again, my favorite theological desk reference, the dictionary. Rapidity of motion, to act or move swiftly. Synonyms: fastness, fleetness, hurry, quickness, rapidity, rapidness, speed, speediness, swiftness, velocity. You get the idea. You know, when we start off morning and evening prayer, for those that have a devotion to the Liturgy of the Hours, you know, our first opening sentence is, God, come to my assistance. Lord, make haste to help me. Lord, with all your speed and all your might, help me. We must do the same. But may our learning of heavenly wisdom, what's the first gift of the Holy Spirit? Wisdom. With wisdom grows faith, understanding, and experience. What is your experience of the triune nature of God? You have to be active in your faith. Someone who is untouched, someone who is unchurched, not practicing, nominal or faith, they won't get it. That's why it's hard to bring the nominal Catholic back to church, because when they get there, they don't get it and they get turned off and they just walk right back out again. That's why it's incumbent upon us. Maybe that's your Advent discipline. Invite somebody back to church. Gain us admittance to his company. All right. The third week. Oh, here's where it gets exciting. Things are going to change on the third week. What do we call the third week, the third Sunday in Advent? What's that? Gaudete Sunday. Not to be confused with Laetare, because Gaudete in Latin means rejoice. Guess what Laetare means in Latin? Rejoice. Gaudete in Domine Semper. Again, that is from the entrance antiphon. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say again, rejoice. Indeed, the Lord is near. This is kind of the halfway point where we can break from our Advent disciplines, you know, of eating, you know, baking and eating cookies and attending parties and everything else. And that's not Advent. And this is where you light your third candle on the wreath. You light the rose-colored candle. And this is the day that the priest wears rose. For those that can't read that, I like Father's pink rose. I like Father's pink robe. It's rose, not pink. How do you know? Because Jesus rose from the dead. He did not pink from the dead. So please do not compliment me on my pink vestments. But the interesting thing about the opening prayer, O God, who see how your people faithfully await the feast of the Lord's Nativity, enable us, we pray, to attain to the joys of so great a salvation and to celebrate always with solemn worship and glad rejoicing. O God, who see how your people faithfully await the feast of the Lord's Nativity. At the third week of Advent, we finally mention the reality of the Nativity. Remember, what was Advent? A time to prepare and to celebrate the Lord's Nativity. Everyone gets kind of gets muddled up, even in our Christian faith. You know, the secular Christmas, they don't care about any of this thing. All they're just looking to do is having parties and giving gifts. Are they really preparing? The Advent season is a time of preparation that directs our hearts and minds to Christ's second coming at the end of time and the anniversary of our Lord's birth on Christmas. To attain the joys of so great a salvation and to celebrate always with solemn worship and glad rejoicing. Solemn worship. Quiet, respectful, meaningful, and to rejoice. Finally, the fourth week. Drop down dew from above, you heavens, and let the clouds rain down the just one. Let the earth be opened and bring forth a Savior. That antiphon is from Isaiah. That's 700 years before the coming of the Savior. Look at this prayer. This is the opening prayer for the fourth week of Advent. Pour forth, we beseech you, O Lord, your grace into our hearts, that we to whom the incarnation of Christ your Son was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of the resurrection. You recognize that prayer? Pray it every day at 6 o'clock or at noontime. It's the Angelus. From the incarnation to the passion to the resurrection, we immediately return to the reality of his second coming, reminding of us why he was born. That little baby in a manger was born for this. You know, at the Christmas Mass, at the liturgy of the Eucharist, where are we in salvation history? We are at the Passover. We are at the Last Supper. We are at the sacrifice of the Lamb of God. May by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection. His resurrection, our resurrection, is when he comes again. So, suggestions for observing Advents. Ah, this is the only decoration you should really put up in your house. Now, I know that there are family traditions, and this is what you do every year. I'm just offering Father Andrew's humble opinion. But whatever is good for your house, but just again, remember, this is how we should start off Advent. There's something wrong with this Advent calendar, or Advent wreath, though. What's wrong with it? All the candles are lit and they're all the same size. because the fun thing about the Advent wreath is that you always burn one candle and then add another. So you get that nice stacked effect, you know, with your candles. That's one thing you can do. How about this? No. You know, an Advent chocolate, the reason I put that up there just reminds me. I actually sent that to my nephew. My nephew's in his mid-30s now. Went back when he was a child. I sent him something like that, full of chocolate. He lives in Florida. My sister-in-law says that was not a good idea. I remember that. Or how about this? Star Wars. I mean, Darth Vader, you know, was death incarnate. You know, he destroyed planets. You know, he killed billions and billions of people. You know, this is not the way to observe Advent. There you go. Remember this. This is probably one of my fondest memories of being a child. My parents always used to buy the Advent calendar, you know, with the little doors that open up. That's great. That's perfect. That's perfect for children, to teach them the meaning of the season of Advent. Attend daily Mass if you can. If you can't attend daily Mass, readings. Do the daily readings. You know, here is Monday, the first week of Advent. You know, this is the USCCB website. You know, they got a section there, daily readings. And there's the calendar. You know, you just click on a particular day. Oh, look, okay. Ordinary time. Here we are, first week. Oh, Solemnity of the Immaculate Conception, Holy Day of Obligation. Feast of the Holy Innocents. Okay, so there will be all the readings right there. Guess what? Do the readings, open a door. And I have, there is a stack of these old, these antiphons and collects I have for you. I printed these up for you. There's a stack of them right over there at the table by the giving tree. So pick up a giving tree ornament and then also take one of these home as well. So you can do those as well. Again, use the Advent calendar to mark the days. So as you go through each day or through each week, open a door, you know, do this as a family. Because you know what's the saying? The family that prays together? That again is another theological fact. And I love it. I mean, the entire family there, mom and dad, you know, three children. Go to confession. Our late Holy Father, St. John Paul II, in his apostolic exhortation, Reconciliatio Penitentia, just as he does at the altar when he, the priest, celebrates the Eucharist, and each one of the sacraments, the priest, as the minister of penance, works in persona Christi. So when you hear the words, I absolve you from your sins, that's not Father Andrew, that's not Father Joe, that's Jesus Christ saying those words. The Christ whom he gives and makes presence, and by means of his ministry, effects the remission of sins is with the priest, who appears as a brother of man, a merciful bridge builder, faithful and compassionate pastor, dedicated to search for the lost sheep, the doctor who heals and comforts, and the one teacher who teaches the truth and teaches the ways of God, who judges the living and the dead, and judges according to the truth and not according to appearances. So go to confession. Right there. Do we use that one? And if you have to put up an Advent bush, you can put up an Advent bush, but don't put it by the fire. You know, you're going to end up like Uncle Louie. You know, and don't be this family. I have actually seen this. On December 26th, trees on front lawns, trash from the Christmas party. For the secular Christmas, December 26th is the day that Christmas ended. For us, it's a continuation of the birth of our Savior.
Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
Sure, Charlie Brown, I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Lights, please. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not. For behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
That particular passage is straight out of the Bible, out of the King James Bible. If you have a King James Bible, open it up when you're watching that Christmas special. word for word, exactly right out of Scripture. 1966, when that Christmas special came out, still my most favorite thing to do at Christmas time. Be with family and celebrate, you know, I'd say. But this is, I'd recommend this for your children as well, because again, it shows, you know, Charlie Brown, you know, caught up, you know, what's the meaning of Christmas? And all Snoopy wants to do is win a prize, you know, for decorating his dog, you know, his doghouse. And, you know, the kids have no clue again. But again, you know, Linus tells us what the meaning of Christmas is. Okay, so here's the question. For which holiday are you preparing? Christmas or Christmas? The secular Christmas began on Black Friday and will end on December 25th. For us, it begins on December 25th and continues on to the baptism of the Lord. So take this time, you know, this season of Advent, to prepare for the time when Christ will come again and to celebrate his birth. When you keep all these things in mind, now you'll see where the balance of the world is off. So all the resources that I have presented here, on the back of this sheet, if you're so inclined to use the internet, all my slides are available online. My speaker notes are available online. I recorded this presentation, this reflection, and I'll post it on my podcast website. It's also the same place where I post all my homilies as well. So let us pray. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, Holy Spirit, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. My brothers and sisters, thank you for coming out. May you have a joyous Advent and a merry, very, very merry Christmas when the time comes. And we'll see you in church on Sunday. The Lord be with you. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Drive safe, everybody. Thank you again for coming out.